ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। तस्या कर्माण्युदारानि परिगीतानि सुरभि ब्रूहिणा सदधानानं Vidaya dadatta kala. Translation. His transcendental acts are magnificent and gracious, and great learned sages like Narada sing of them. Please, therefore, speak to us who are eager to hear about the adventures he performs in his various incarnations. Purport. Personality of Godhead is never inactive, as some less intelligent persons suggest. His works are magnificent and magnanimous. His creations, both material and spiritual, are all wonderful and contain all variegatedness. They are described nicely by such liberated souls as Srila Narada, Vyas, Valmiki, Devala, Asita, Madhva, Sri Chaitanya, Ramanuja, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, Sridhar, Vishwanath, Baladev, Bhakti Vinod, Siddhanta, Saraswati, and many other learned and self-realized souls. These creations, both material and spiritual, are full of opulence, beauty, and knowledge. But the spiritual realm is more magnificent due to its being full of knowledge, bliss, and eternity. The material creations are manifested for some time as perverted shadows of the spiritual kingdom and can be likened to cinemas. They attract people of less intelligent caliber who are attracted by false things. Such foolish men have no information of the reality, and they take it for granted that the false material manifestation is the all in all. But more intelligent men, guided by sages like Vyas and Narada, know that the eternal kingdom of God is more delightful, larger, and eternally full of bliss and knowledge. Those who are not conversant with the activities of the Lord in his transcendental realm are sometimes favored by the Lord in his adventures as incarnations, wherein he displays the eternal bliss of his association in the transcendental realm. By such activities, he attracts the conditioned souls of the material world. Some of these conditioned souls are engaged in the false enjoyment of material senses, and others in simply negating their real life in the spiritual world. These less intelligent persons are known as karmis, or fruitive workers, and gyanis, or dry mental speculators. But above these two classes of men is the transcendentalist known as sattvata, or the devotee, who is busy neither with rampant material activity nor with material speculation. He is engaged in the positive service of the Lord, and thereby he derives the highest spiritual benefit unknown to the karmis and gyanis. As the supreme controller of both the material and spiritual worlds, the Lord has different incarnations of unlimited categories. Incarnations like Brahma, Rudra, Manu, Prithu, Vyas are his material qualitative incarnations, but his incarnations like Ram, Narasimha, Varaha, and Vamana are his transcendental incarnations. Lord Sri Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations, and he is therefore the cause of all causes.
Omigyanatimarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpa Taru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Baye Vacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnabe Bhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So we are discussing the various questions that were asked by the sages of Namasharanya. Do you remember the first three questions?
I remember, what is the ultimate good, ultimate absolute good? And
please repeat. What is the essence of the scriptures? Buri burini karmani. There's so many varieties of scriptures. It's so many rules, so many regulations, so many activities prescribed according to different times and different circumstances. Select the sadam, select the essence. That's the duty of the acharya. Acharya means one who selects. I think I gave the analogy yesterday. There may be a medicine cabinet with so many medicines. So for someone to be cured, someone has to diagnose him and then select the proper medicine. So the Vedas are like a medicine cabinet of different prescriptions. And the acharya has to select. So it's the beginning of Kali Yuga. So the sages of Namasharanya being eager for the benefit of mankind, and they're diagnosing the particular condition. They're seeing what the condition of mankind will be. Pretty low. Pretty fallen. Prayena upayasha shubha kalavas minyuge janaha manda sumanda matayo manda bhaga. But we went over that yesterday. Always disturbed and lazy and misguided. Unfortunate, short-lived. So please pick out the essence so that they can be satisfied. And one point I didn't go over in the purport that I'm remembering from that one of the previous texts is that text 18 is that I'm not sure if I can find which one. Yes, text 11 in that Buri Burini Karmani, so that people can be satisfied, because the scriptures and spiritual instructions are meant for the satisfaction of this self or Atma. Prabhupada says never satisfied by any material planning, because we are spiritual by constitution. So the scriptures are actually prescribing the activities by which one can become pure, natural, and self-satisfied. And that means that the Supreme Lord, who has the scriptures are manifesting from his breathing as he creates the world, is manifesting the knowledge or instructions by which people can act in a way to come to the platform of health or self-satisfaction. So that was the question. Pick the panacea, pick the medicine that can be prescribed for these particular people who are unfortunate to live in Kali Yuga, so that they can become satisfied. And we'll see that the answer to that question will be devotional service, pure devotional service, which is done all the time without any break, which is based tad shraddhayana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashanti atmani chatmani bhakti shita grihitaya. Bhakti is based on the hearing the instructions of the scriptures, the Srimad Bhagavatam. You perform bhakti by hearing this, and then you know what to do. And by hearing it, the proper cultivation of the proper desires manifests. Anyway, that was the second question. Select the essence of the Shastra. The first question was, what is the absolute ultimate good? It had the question in text 9, which is, what is the absolute and ultimate good? And the question in text 11, which is the essence of the Shastra. They have the same answer. The same answer is pure devotional service. It's given in the second chapter, I think, verse 5 or 6. That's also not unusual that different questions can give the same answer. Just like I could say, who is the person that is married to such and such, and it be this particular answer. And then you can say, well, who's the person is the president of such and such? And the same person can be mentioned. There's two different questions, but it's the same answer. The third question is, what is the purpose of Krishna's appearance? And when you ask, for what purpose did he appear? You know, the cause of his appearance will reveal his transcendental nature. So, for what purpose did Krishna, it means basically describe Krishna's appearance. So, that's also about Krishna Katha. Now, in this verse, text 17, the fourth question is asked. 17 and 18 will both be questions about the Lord's incarnations. But there are two ways in which the Supreme Lord manifests into the world. This will also be described in the second canto, I know that. One manifestation of the Supreme Lord in this world is the Creator. His incarnations as the Purusha avatars, Vishnu and Narayan. In other words, his incarnations where he creates the material world. this is in 17, and that's one way. The other way is that he enters into the world and performs various leelas or pastimes. But although he incarnates in these two various ways, his objective or purpose for doing so is the same. He's creating the material world for the enlightenment of the conditioned souls. And he's entering into the material world and performing pastimes for the enlightenment of the conditioned souls. So 17, actually, the word is Kala. Kala means a part of Krishna. And that's the incarnations that create the world. Just like later on in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a famous verse describing the superiority of Krishna's appearance, that he's Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality of Godhead. And it's described, Ete Chamsa Kala Pumsa, Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam. Ete means these incarnations, because there was a whole list of incarnations given. Then this verse came. These incarnations, cha, and all others, are either amsa or kala. Either part or part of the part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So kala means part of the part. And that means the incarnations of the Purushavatars and Vishnus. I'm going to have to research this a little bit more carefully. But you have to have access to the original commentaries because it's very similar. But this is about creation. And this will be discussed, I think, at the end of the second chapter. And text 18 will be about his Leela avatars. So this is question 4. And Prabhupada in the purport, he's revealing why he comes. And he comes so that we can hear about his activities and become attracted to the spiritual world and become attracted to our constitutional position as his servant, There is, when you hear about Krishna's activities and how wonderful they are, it inspires bhakti in us. And what is bhakti? When you become attracted to someone, then you want to serve and please them. So what Prabhupada presents in the purport is that, I think I should read it again, intelligent men guided by sages like Vyas know that the eternal kingdom of God is more delightful, larger, and eternally full of bliss and knowledge. So when he comes in his incarnations, Prabhupada comes, he displays the eternal bliss of his association in the transcendental realm. By such activities, he attracts the conditioned souls of the material world. So the conditioned souls, we are attracted to something which is inferior. And that's why it's hard for us to take the spiritual life. Because we're not sufficiently attracted to the thing that is better, which is the spiritual world and the spiritual activities. But rather we're attracted to the material creation. So the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam is to describe Krishna because he appeared, so that we can become attracted to him, develop our bhakti, and become free from the illusion of the material world and go back to Godhead. Now, in this purport, Prabhupada gives a particularly fascinating analogy to show us how the creations of the material world will not satisfy us and are perverted reflections of the reality. And he describes this. I'm going to read the analogy again and then describe it. The material creations are manifest for some time as perverted shadows of the spiritual kingdom and can be likened to cinemas. They attract people of less intelligent caliber who are attracted by false things. Such foolish men have no information of the reality, and they take it for granted that the false material manifestation is the all in all. So this is why, you know, cinema is considered, maybe not in the West, but in India, it's for low class people. Why? Because what is the thrill that you get from cinema? The thrill you get from cinema is vicarious thrills. In other words, it's not the thrill you get of doing something yourself. But you watch the movie and you know, you're a very poor person in India, you'll see this by the cinemas. You know, people will just be mostly it's people in bicycles. And poor people who, in a rigid social structure like India, will never be rich, will never be famous, will never have a beautiful wife. And so they're frustrated in life and they go to the cinema, but in the cinema, what will they see? They'll see a big hero doing something that they could never do. And the nature of drama or theater is that if you identify with the protagonist, then the same feelings that he experiences will come into your heart. So you'll experience heroism or chivalry. Or, you know, he makes some connection and has a tremendous romance with some beautiful starlet. You know, so that desire will come into your heart, but you're not really getting the girl, and nor are you, you know, executing great heroism. So it's a perverted, you know, your experience is not real. You know, it's not the real thing. So similarly, our experiences, Prabhupada is saying, in the material world is not the real pleasure. The real pleasure is situated in the spiritual world. So Krishna comes to display his pastimes so that we can actually be attracted to the real thing. And that's also the purpose of hearing the Bhagavatam, to get that taste for the real relationships of our loving relationships with Krishna. James, anytime you do have questions, you could just... Yeah.
So that's, you're saying how one identifies with the cinema, the actors.
And, yeah.
Then aren't some stages of bhakti like that, some stages of raganuga, where you begin to...
Any drama or any theater, it's not that, is based on that... is based on that dynamic. So there is in... That's what the Bhagavatam is. Bhagavatam is that there's loving relationships of devotees with Krishna. If you're qualified, then that same feeling will manifest in your heart. And it'll help you to nourish that feeling. But if you're qualified, there's a term where the person, the audience has to be qualified. So the Bhagavatam is meant to actually bring us to that qualification. In other words, let's say that you see Mother Yasoda loving Krishna, right? And you have also that maternal affection for Krishna. Now, when you hear about Mother Yasoda loving Krishna with maternal affection, that'll swell the maternal affection in your heart. So it'll be nourishing your own bhakti. If you have a mood of friendship and you see the loving friendship, that'll inspire something in your heart. I'll give you even an example. Let's say if you love Prabhupada, right? And then you read a story about a devotee who has great love for Prabhupada, right? Then if he has the same relationship with Prabhupada that you do, then by hearing about him and hearing about how he's serving Prabhupada with such devotion, you know, by your appreciation of that, you'll feel the same thing. But when you go to a cinema, what are you feeling?
Mundane.
Yeah, mundane relationships.
So when one's purified by the bhakti process and your Srimad Bhagavatam is qualified, then this transcendental literature displaces them from this mundane reality and
yeah, well, of course. That's the process. We'll go on. Atakyahi harer diman avatam kata. Oh, avatara kata subha lila vidatata svairam ishvarasyatma maya. O wise Sutta, please narrate to us the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Godhead's multi-incarnations, such auspicious adventures and pastimes of the Lord, the Supreme Controller, are performed by his internal powers. So this says, Lila, Vidadhatta Svairam, the pastimes, his Lilas, his multi-incarnations, as he manifests in the world. And at the beginning of the third chapter, it'll list some of the incarnations. And in other places, like the seventh canto, also the incarnations will be listed. And that's what the Srimad Bhagavatam is. It describes the Lord's incarnations. Vamana, Nisringadev, Ramachandra. All those incarnations are described. And this also says here, Atmamaya. Atmamaya means, again, by his personal energies. When he appears by his own sweet will. It's always a question why the Supreme Lord acts, because generally we act to get something because it's deficient in ourselves, but he's the controller and he's the enjoyer. Everything belongs to him already. So why does he act? He acts for his own pleasure. He acts to exchange with his various energies. Otherwise, there's no reason for him to act. There's nothing outside of himself. We discussed this at the beginning. There's nothing outside of God. So he doesn't have to act to achieve something or get something. But he acts simply out of pleasure to exchange with his different energies. And even his manifestation in the material world, in one sense, is also that. He's exchanging with his material energy. So this is the fifth question. Now, in text 23, the sixth question will be mentioned. 19, 20, 21, and 22. I think there's four verses which will explain why do we want to hear about Krishna. I think this is interesting. Before the verses of 17 and 18, which describe the incarnations, 14, 15, and 16, describe, you know, about Krishna, why we should hear about Krishna, right? Because even if we unconsciously chant his name, then we can become free from the entanglement and complicated meshes of the material world. What to speak of the person, if even his name can do that unconsciously. And his servants, if you take shelter of his servants, you can become purified, even, you know, more purified than bathing in the Ganges. So if you can become purified by taking shelter of his servants, then what to speak of the master, how powerful he must be. So then his incarnations are described. Now again, there will be several verses to again stress why we want to hear about Krishna. And it's a very beautiful verse and one of my favorite verses. Vayam natu vitripyama utama shoka vikrame yachrinvatam rasagyanam swadu swadu pade pade. We never tire of hearing the transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead, who is glorified by hymns and prayers. Those who have developed a taste for transcendental relationships with the Supreme Lord transcendental relationship with him relish hearing of his pastimes at every moment. So this is the nature of that literature that describes Krishna, that it's you never become tired, never satiated, because you're experiencing Krishna. We've experienced a little bit ourselves, I think, just by hearing regularly every morning how the Bhagavatam is chit shakti. It's spiritual. So it's not something that's just carved out in time. It's just like if you have a loving relationship with a person, the relationship can grow, actually, and especially in a spiritual sense. In other words, it's active, it's live. So I think we're experiencing sometimes as we do these verses again and again, how new meanings and new meanings and new meanings come. So each time it's a new thing. And that's the nature of spiritual life. There's a term describing prema called apurvata. Apurvata means wonder or unprecedented. The nature when the residents of Vrindavan meet Krishna, every time they meet him, the feeling is like it is for the first time. That's actually described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's like for the first time, if Radharani meets Krishna, I've never met him before. Because when you experience something for the first time, it's always the most wonderful. But the more you approach Krishna, then the more newer it becomes. And that's also described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that when Radharani and Krishna meet, when Radharani loves Krishna, then Krishna becomes very happy. When Krishna becomes happy, he becomes more beautiful. When someone is happy, he's more beautiful. That's why when you take pictures of people, they smile. Because when you're smiling, you look more beautiful. So Krishna becomes happy when he receives the love of Radharani, becomes more beautiful. Then Radharani becomes, also when she sees Krishna more beautiful and more happy, she becomes more beautiful, more happy, more blissful, and she becomes more beautiful. And then when Krishna sees that Radharani has become more beautiful, right, then he becomes happy and he becomes more beautiful. And then Radharani, seeing Krishna's beauty increase, and she becomes more beautiful because she's more blissful. And it's an eternal spiritual competition between the two. And it always increases. And that's the nature of the spiritual substance. That's the nature of God's, that's God's nature, that he has inconceivable potency. So therefore, although it's within him, he can always increase. So therefore, his literature, his message, which is non-different from him, also has this relish and this dynamicism, this knowledge. Uttama Shloka is described here. The transcendental verses. You never become, actually, you shall never be at rest means you're never satiated. You're satisfied by never satiated. Satiated means rested or full. You can never become full. And Prabhupada in the purport describes this to mundane literature. You know, you read a newspaper, you have to throw it away. You read a book, that's it, once. But this is so dynamic, this literature. So it's very nice. Vayam natu, we never get rested or tired or satiated. Uttama shloka vikrame, about the adventures and hearing about Krishna. Yat shrindvatam rasa gyanam. And when you actually have knowledge of this rasa, when you actually have knowledge of these loving relationships between Krishna and his devotees, and that's what the Bhagavatam is, actually. Jiva Goswami says you cannot say that the Bhagavatam contains rasa. It's composed. He said it's actually everything. The whole Bhagavatam is comprised of rasa. And what does rasa mean? The devotion, the ecstatic devotion, the ecstatic perfect love of Krishna for his devotees and Krishna's devotees for Krishna. So when you actually have knowledge of that, as you were saying, James, you have some knowledge of it and some understanding, and then you're reading about it in the Bhagavatam, how the devotees are loving Krishna, and that comes to your heart because you're qualified and you have similar sentiments, your devotion is developing. So that's another thing. As your devotion develops, you can appreciate it more and more. Just like if you, again, you're reading about Prabhupada and a devotee is loving Prabhupada, and you have some sentiment. So that love will come to your heart. But the more love you have, the more you'll appreciate it. So as your guru bhakti increases, as your devotion for Prabhupada increases, you'll appreciate that more and more. So the Bhagavatam, as you're developing your devotion and love for Krishna, you'll appreciate it more and more. Until you become completely absorbed in it. It'll be the most attractive thing for you to hear. Because you have that qualification, you have that devotion yourself. It's like when you go and visit Vrindavan, you relish it, but when you go back, you relish it more. Because when you go to the various places and hear about Krishna's pastimes with his devotees, the more you yourself are having that relationship with Krishna, the more you will appreciate hearing about that relationship with Krishna. And then it'd be swadu, swadu, pade, pade, relishing, relishing, palatable at every step. The Prabhupada also discusses artificial realization of Brahman becomes hackneyed, and so to relish pleasure and truth, they turn to pleasure, they turn to narrations of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because that's dry. It's very hard. Even the Mayavadis are hearing Ras Leela. When you go to Kumbh Mela, and there's all lectures by all the famous acharyas, even the Mayavadis will have speak about Ras Leela. It's so attractive. But and what to speak of mundane literature is in the mode of darkness or ignorance. This is Uttama Shloka, means it dispels ignorance, it's above ignorance. Mundane news is static, Prabhupada said, where transcendental news is ecstatic. Insomuch as spirit is dynamic and matter is static. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is putting out a newspaper every day about Krishna consciousness. And when he was questioned on it, he said the spiritual world, as it says here, larger, delightful, you know, etc. He said, the spiritual world, he said, you can put out a newspaper every minute. So this is why they want to, this is why Krishna appears. This is why they're eager to hear about it. Kritavan kila karmani saharamena keshava atimat Ati Martyani Bhagavan Gudha Kapitamanusha. Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, along with Balaram, played like a human being. And so masked, he performed many superhuman acts. So the sages of Namasharanya, they're asking about Krishna, and now they're so enthusiastic that they're they're speaking about Krishna. And this is also significant that they're not, in other words, they're asking about the incarnations, but especially they want to hear about Krishna, especially. And they want to become qualified to hear about Krishna. Therefore, in the purport, Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam, the transcendental nature of the Lord is described in 9 cantos, and in the 10th canto, his specific pastimes are taken up. All this becomes known as one's reading of this literature progresses. So as this literature progresses, we become qualified to understand Krishna. But here's the reason why it's difficult to understand him. Because, what does it say here? Does it say Manushya, Kapata, Gudha, he's apparently masked as a human being. So unless you properly go through the Bhagavatam and understand the truth about Krishna, then, and you don't develop some loving devotion sentiment, loving devotional sentiments, when you see Krishna, you'll project your material conditioning on him and will misunderstand Krishna. You'll actually misunderstand him. So therefore, there's 9 cantos to fix up and give you the proper conceptions and understanding so that when you hear about Krishna, there will not be any misconceptions. In the Upanishads, it describes that part of perception is the intelligence. It's not just the senses and the mind. The mind focuses the consciousness, but the intelligence has to, to perceive something, you need intelligence. You need the proper understanding. The holy name, if you have Mayavadi conceptions, you won't, will you be experiencing the holy name? If you have offensive conceptions towards the holy name, towards Krishna, if your heart is full of lust and you see Krishna and the gopis, this is another interesting point. When Krishna relates with the gopis, in Sanskrit it's called kama rup. It's the form of lust. But what really kama is intent, you know, in the material world, lust is the most intense emotion. So therefore, the love between Krishna and the gopis is called kama rup, because it has the most intense emotion. But the consciousness is completely different. In the material world, in that relationship, it's intense desire to enjoy the senses. And in the spiritual world, it's an intense desire to please Krishna's senses. So when a girl looks at a boy, or a boy looks at a girl, let's say a girl looks at a boy with sidelong, a boy, you know, they look at each other with sidelong glances. It's an intense desire, let me enjoy my senses. But when Krishna looks at Radharani, or Radharani looks at Krishna with sidelong glances, it's an intense desire, how I can please your senses. But the external form is the same form as material lust. It's just the consciousness that's different. So if you don't have that consciousness of love for Krishna yourself, then when you see that form, you'll see lust. But when someone is advanced in spiritual life, purified in heart, and has some experience of love for Krishna, when he sees the pastimes of Radharani and the gopis, he'll see love. So therefore, even though Lord Chaitanya was so detached from women, and such a renowned sannyasi that he wouldn't hear a woman singing, he was hearing constantly about the gopis. But when he was seeing their loving exchanges of exchanging sidelong glances and embracing, because in his own heart he had that experience of love and devotion, then he would be seeing love. He would be seeing bhava. He would be seeing devotion. So therefore, to properly see and hear Krishna's pastimes, which here says are covered or masked like a human being, it has the form of a human being, to properly hear them, you have to become purified of your material conceptions. You have to develop spiritual or transcendental knowledge, and you have to develop transcendental sentiments. So that you can, when you're hearing the 10th canto, you can actually perceive it properly. And what will you see? You'll just see Krishna exchanging, lovingly exchanging with his energies. No mundane conceptions will come. So this says superhuman. He's masked like a human being, but still his divinity is seen. And to actually be able to understand that properly, we have to go through the other 9 cantos. And that's what we're doing. We're on a progressive march to have the proper conceptions, the proper sentiments, and become free of material desires. And if we follow this process of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, by the time we come to the 10th canto and hear it, we'll hear about Rasaganam. Because we'll have some of that ourselves in our hearts. And the material desires will be reduced. We'll go on to the next verse. Any question?
Kalim agatam agyaya shetre smin vaishnave vayam asina dirga satrena katayam sakshana hare.
Knowing well that the age of Kali has already begun, we are assembled here in this holy place to hear at great length the transcendental message of Godhead and in this way perform sacrifice. So, why are they hearing? They're eager to hear. It's rasagyanam, swadhu, swadhu, pate, pate. But also, this hearing is also a sacrifice. So they're also asking these questions and hearing about Krishna as a way also to help others. Just like Sankirtan Yajna, it's for the person who's chanting the holy name, but it's also purifying the atmosphere and helping others. So it's both.
Civilization, as was Satya Yuga, the golden age, or Treta or Dwarapara Yuga is the silver and copper age. For self-realization, the people in Satya Yuga, living a lifetime of 100 years, were able to perform prolonged meditation. And in Treta Yuga, when the duration of life was 10,000 years, self-realization was attained by performance of great sacrifice. And in the Dwapara Yuga, when the duration of life was 1,000 years, self-realization was attained by worship of the Lord. But in the Kali Yuga, the maximum duration of life being 100 years only, and that combined with various difficulties, the recommended process of self-realization is that of hearing and chanting of the holy name, fame, and pastimes of the Lord. The sages of Naimisharanya began this process in a place meant specifically for the devotees of the Lord. They prepared themselves to hear the pastimes of the Lord over a period of 1,000 years. By the example of these sages, one should learn that regular hearing and recitation of the Bhagavatam is the only way for self-realization. So they were establishing the process of self-satisfaction and self-realization for this age. Because that's why they were there. That's why they're asking these questions, for the benefit of others. Other attempts are simply a waste of time, for they do not give any tangible results. So Lord Chaitanya preached this system of Bhagavad Dharma, and he recommended that all those who were born in India should take the responsibility of broadcasting the messages of Lord Sri Krishna, primarily the message of Bhagavad Gita. And when one is well established in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, he can take up the study of Srimad Bhagavatam for further enlightenment and self-realization. So Lord Chaitanya, he established this. He preached this system of Bhagavad Dharma. So they established the beginning of Kali Yuga, the Yuga Dharma. So that's also our duty. Our duty is not only simply to hear about Krishna's pastimes, but it's also to preach about it and talk about it and disseminate it and help others. Interesting here also, it says they prepared themselves to hear the pastimes over a period of 1,000 years. They gained qualification to hear by performing sacrifice for a long time. So by example of the sages, it's not cheap or ordinary to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Vayam Natut, they were doing sacrifice, swaha, 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 and the smoke was coming in their face, and it's swaha. And after hundreds and hundreds of years, they became tired of that. But by the sacrifice, they became qualified to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. They became tired of it. They never became tired of the Bhagavatam. But they also gained qualification. In the second verse, we actually discussed a little bit of this morning. Kritibi means, you know, that those who are pious are fit to hear the Bhagavatam. So when you come and sit to hear the Bhagavatam, in one sense, it's a reflection of your piety. We discussed that verse, Aho Bhattaswapa Chato Guriyan Yajiva Gre Vartite Namatubhyam Aho Bhatta. Oh, how wonderful it is that someone who is Jiva Gre means the name is just kind of hanging on his tongue, even once. Such a person has gone through all, you know, sacrifices, has read all the Vedas, has visited all the holy places, bathed in all the holy rivers. So when you come to devotional service, it's kritibhi. It's a great piety. But the test of your piety is your eagerness to hear. And again, if we don't have that eagerness to hear, by hearing, we will get the greatest qualification. By hearing and serving, we'll get this attraction to hear about Krishna. But they prepared themselves. So it's not a cheap thing. It's not a cheap thing. Now we'll do the next verse. Twamna sandarshito datra dustaram nistatirshitam kalim satva haram pumsam karana dara ivarnavam. Very beautiful verse. Translation. We think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. So this is also, again, this abhideya tattva, this truth of how we can actually realize God. Two things are always mentioned. Hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, and taking shelter of the devotee. Later in the next chapter, it'll say, Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. That if you want all the inauspicious things destroyed, Nityam, every day, Bhagavata Sevaya. You serve the devotee, Prabhupada says, the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. Because you have to hear the book Bhagavat from the person Bhagavat. And the book Bhagavat is only about the person Bhagavat, and the person Bhagavat only talks about the book Bhagavat. So this verse is very, very nice, expressing their fortune that they met such a qualified soul as Sutta Goswami. And our fortune that we met such a qualified soul as Srila Prabhupada, who is the Acharya, presenting these things so nicely for understanding. Tvam, your goodness, na, sandarshito, datra. By providence, it's only fortune that we're able to meet the Acharya, the great soul. Dustaram, insurmountable. Nistatirshitam, for those who are desiring to cross over Kali Yuga. It's fortunate for those desiring to cross over Kali Yuga. Kalim, the age of Kali, Satva, Haram, Pumsa, which destroys, Haram means kills, which kills the Satva of man. Kali Yuga kills Satva. We should be tolerant with each other. Because Kali Yuga kills humility, Kali Yuga kills cleanliness, Kali Yuga kills truthfulness. Kali Yuga kills austerity. It's the same theme. This is almost like Priyanal Payasha Shupa Kalavasmin, the verse we discussed just before. It kills Satva Haram. It kills all the establishment of truth, of goodness. And therefore, we're fortunate to meet you who are Karna Dada, the captain of Arnavam, the captain of our ship, because it's the ocean of Kali Yuga, the difficult ocean. And how to cross it?
by the captain. And who's the captain? Sutta Goswami. It's described sometimes the boat is the human form of life. The guru is the captain who's steering the ship, and the Vedas are the favorable winds. That's the Bhagavatam. You're crossing it over by the Bhagavatam, which is, and this is why Prabhupada said the books are the basis. And this is the whole history that we're reading. Vyasadeva is presenting the Bhagavatam for Kali Yuga. You know, for people can actually get out of this world. And that's what, that's the last question that will be asked. And the last question is 6 in text 23. Bruhi Yogeshvare Krishna Brahmanye Dharma Varmani Swam Kashtam Aduno Pete Dharma Kam Saranam Gata. Since Sri Krishna, the absolute truth, the master of all mystic powers, has departed for his own abode, please tell us to whom the religious principles have now gone for shelter. So this is the last question. Because this is, their meeting, Krishna's left the planet, then Kali Yuga has come. As soon as Krishna left the planet, then Kali Yuga started. And now they want to know, now that he's left, to whom have religious principles, where is Dharma? Where is the instructions on what to do that is right gone? Where can we get that? And the answer will come up directly. This is at the end of the third chapter. The end of the third chapter, it'll be described. So this is the last question. That Dharma, the duties, what's right, Sharanam, they've taken shelter. And the answer that Sutta will give is that it's in the Bhagavatam. And that he was there. The answer he'll give, it's in the end of the third chapter, I was there, I heard it, and I realized it. I was sitting there when Sukadeva Goswami spoke it to Maharaj Prickett. And now that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you the Bhagavatam. So the culmination of all the 6 questions will be the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he'll begin to tell the whole story of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Beginning with its history. And that's what will happen. He'll tell the history first. Because what will happen is the sages of Namasharanya by Shonaka Rishi, when they hear that they're going to hear the Bhagavatam, they explode in enthusiasm. Sutta, Sutta, Mahabhaga. It's a literary defect when you mention something twice, except when you do it in great enthusiasm. Sutta, Sutta, Mahabhaga. What is that? I think it was text 4, or verse 4. Yes, Sutta, Sutta, Mahabhaga. Vada no vada tam vara. Katam Bhagavatam Punyam Yadaha Bhagavan Chuka. Sonika said, this is after, when Sutta said it, where, you know, well, where is religious principles going to be maintained? It's the Bhagavatam, and I heard it, and I realized I'm going to tell it to you. And he said, oh, Sutta, you are the most fortunate, respected of all those who can speak and recite. Please relate the pious message of Bhagavatam, which is spoken by the great and powerful sage, Sukadeva Goswami. And then Shonaka begins to ask about the history. And the rest of the first canto will be the history, because the history is how Vyasadeva became inspired. And that begins in chapter 4, and it goes up to chapter 7. And then he asks about Sukadeva Goswami. That's also within that story. And then he asks about Maharaj Prickett. From chapter 7, which is the end of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, where Maharaj Prickett is in the womb of his mother Uttara, and Ashvatthama throws the Brahmastra to destroy the last descendant of the Adi dynasty, and Krishna protects him till the end, where Maharaj Prickett gets cursed to die. And the end of the first canto is Marge Prickett was cursed to die, and he went to the bank of the Ganga, and he asked the question, what is the duty of a man who's about to die, and what should he not do? As see, Sukadeva Goswami came. And then Sukadeva Goswami's answer to that question is the Bhagavatam. And he begins to explain the duty of the man who's about to die. In fact, he not only answers the duty of a man who's about to die, but he says, Vriyanesha te prashna krita lokam hitan nipa atmavit samatam pumsa yat shodhi ashu yapara. He just says, even your question is so glorious. Forget the answer. Even your question, because it's about Krishna, is so glorious. It does the best welfare for all people. Atmavit samata pumsa. And it's a subject matter for all transcendentalists. Yapara, it's the supreme subject to hear. So even the question is glorious. Are there any questions? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.